Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Oh, we are loaded. It's a Monday. We are live in Los Angeles. This show is called The Herd. Wherever you may be and however you may be listening, we're on Fox Sports Radio and right here on FS1, 1 hour from now, where Colin was right, where Colin was wrong. We got a great World Series. We got great Monday Night Football tonight. We had a crazy Sunday Night Football game. Tom Brady is back. Bold. Joy Taylor is joining me. This is such a crazy weekend. I had so much fun watching that game last night.
The whole weekend was wild.
Nuts.
A big UFC fight.
This morning my wife texted me. She goes, what's going on with football? She was like, crazy.
The early window of games was insane.
Insane. So I want to start with this. You know how general managers will sign quarterbacks early? And sometimes, like, Carson Wentz is injured and stuff, and you're like, why are they doing that? The reason they do that is because quarterbacks now are so important. Once you find one and you think he's the right person, you sign him, you hope you get a little bit of a financial break over the next 5 or 6 years. This league is all about quarterbacks. 7 games in, Tom Brady has transformed the Buccaneers franchise. Bill Belichick, have you watched New England? Belichick, the smartest football coach ever, has won 43% of the games in his career when he didn't have Tom Brady starting. Pete Carroll fired twice, 14-18 in Seattle pre-Russell Wilson. Mike McCarthy, Favre and Rodgers looked like one thing. Seen Dallas this year? We talk about strategy. You know the difference between Facebook and MySpace? It ain't strategy. It's Mark Zuckerberg. Okay, that's your strategy. Stop talking about strategy. Tom Brady in 7 weeks has changed the franchise. Now you got guys like Gronk is retired. Suddenly Gronk's like, you know, maybe I can play another couple years. Antonio Brown had his choice. I'll go play with Tom. That's the power of Tom, the power of LeBron. It's what legends do. And look at arrogant New England. New England, remember that article a couple years ago? One of the assistants said, we could win with a lot of quarterbacks here. Well, you got Cam, and it ain't working. In this divorce, one has remarried and is flourishing, and New England is living in a van down by the river. Andy Reid went from can't win the big game to the leader of the next dynasty, thanks to Patrick Mahomes. John Harbaugh was going to get run out of Baltimore. Then something called Lamar Jackson happened. I like strategy. I like data. I can be a football nerd. It's about the dude. It's about Brady. Belichick's won 43% of his games. He's as smart as anybody that ever been in this league. And it's when you get a LeBron or you get a Brady, it's not just about their game. I mean, Jameis Winston, big, strong kid, beautiful arm, throws to the wrong team too much, but he's got all sorts of talent. It is about accountability. It's about leadership. It is about holding teammates to a standard that the organization's never had before. Think about this. It was 2 weeks ago. New England goes on the road and is awful against Chicago. 11 penalties. Brady is yelling at everybody. And what do you hear in Tampa? Tom's mean. Back-to-back games. No turnovers. No sacks allowed. 4 penalties in 2 games. That's called accountability. It's not about talent. Jameis had talent. Brady, LeBron hold you accountable. I like Frank Vogel. I like Ty Lue. But LeBron's made those dudes a lot of money and given them a lot of fans. It's not about strategy with LeBron. It's not about strategy with Tom Brady. It's about coming into the room and changing the temperature of it. You hold everybody accountable and your leadership and your efficiency. It is unbelievable to watch Tampa. And by the way, you knew it wasn't going to be easy. There's no preseason. Tom's getting older. We knew it wasn't going to be easy. New system, new coach. But this is not a Bruce Arians story. The Bruce Arians book has been written. No risk it, no biscuit. Throw the ball down the field. Be aggressive. Really loose. Tampa's still all those things. They got rid of the loose. because they got Tom Brady, and he's totally accountable. He holds everybody accountable. Meanwhile, in New England this morning, here's the questions their coach is being asked.
Bill, do you plan on having Cam Newton as your quarterback going forward?
Yeah, absolutely. Just wanted to give Stitt a little experience here.
Yeah. It's not about experience. It's not about strategy. I like Andy Reid. I think Pete Carroll and Belichick, first ballot Hall of Famers. But Mike McCarthy, watch the Cowboys today. This is why franchises sign quarterbacks early, even ones with injuries. I mean, are you watching the Chargers and Justin Herbert? They're going to sign him early. Guarantee it. They're going to sign him 2 years early. Joe Burrow in Cincinnati. Kyler Murray in Arizona. Sign him early. Get a discount. So hard to find the right guy. And when you do, and Tampa did, it just took them, 50 years of their franchise to find a quarterback. They changed the temperature of the franchise in 7 games. Tampa this morning is the best team in the NFL. I'm from the Pacific Northwest. Proud for years and years to be a Husky and Seahawk fan. And last couple years, Joy has seen me. Just, can we let Russell Wilson take over the team a little bit? Can we let Russ? And so there's a saying in Seattle called let Russ cook. And I love the saying let Russ cook. But we didn't ask that he runs the whole damn restaurant. He needs a little help as he's cooking. Could you have a prep cook? Could you have a general manager? Could you have some waiters? Could you have somebody washing the dishes? Yeah, I know he threw 3 interceptions last night. But unfortunately, he has no help. They can't cover anybody. No pass rush. Myles Garrett has 9 sacks this year. The Seattle Seahawks team has 9 sacks. The leader of the Seahawks in sacks is Jamal Adams. He's not only a safety, he's only played 3 games. They can't guard anybody. They can't cover. They can't get pressure. They're giving up 6.3 yards a play. You want to know the other 2 teams that are close to that? Atlanta, 1-6, and Jacksonville, 1-6. Seattle should be 1-5. Do you know how bad the Dallas defense is? I mean, we're all like acknowledging how bad it is. Oh, Seattle's given up more yards in 1 less game. We want Russ to cook, but the cook, even if he's a 5-star chef, needs a little help. There's a reason that Russell Wilson throws some picks. And one was really bad. It should be noted his really bad one did not result in any Arizona points because DK Metcalf is not human. The point being, if you watch what is happening right now in Kansas City with Mahomes, yesterday, last week, they ask Mahomes 5, 6, 7 times a game, go be special. In Seattle, they asked Russell Wilson to be special the minute he leaves the team hotel to get on the bus, and then they ask him in overtime to make more great plays. There's a difference between let Russ cook and force Russ to run the entire restaurant. They have got to make a move. He's everything. That's why I don't understand when Pete Carroll got conservative in regulation. You trust this defense? And by the way, Russell Wilson in Seattle is becoming James Harden with the Houston Rockets. It can be mesmerizing, historic. It is fascinating. But there's a reason that James Harden is out of gas by the first round every year. And you're going to run Russell Wilson absolutely into the ground with this football team. He needs help. Something. Anything. Tyler Lockett, who again came out of college as sort of a gadget guy, thank God that works. I mean, cross your fingers, and those two are unbelievable. But if you look at how Patrick Mahomes and Lamar Jackson are sort of allowed to grow, Jared Goff, you'll watch that tonight. You're asked to be special a half dozen times. You're not asked to be special the minute you get off the bus, even after the game. Russell Wilson is willing to take all the heat for the entire franchise.
And I thought we played a great game except for those 3 plays. I mean, honestly, and those were my fault. So, there's so much that we can do, and we have so much confidence. Our confidence is not going to waver. They're a great football team, too. And we knew it was going to be a battle. It always is down here and whenever we play. Nothing really changes except for the fact that We just have to tighten up some things. I have to be better.
Total pro. That's what you do since that, you know, things could unravel here, which they very easily could. Just say it again. Seattle allows 6.3 yards a play. Two other teams in the league are close to that. They're both awful. Atlanta with Matt Ryan. I like Matt Ryan. When his defense is bad, they're 1-6. You know, Russell's 5-1. Jags, Gardner Minshew. We thought he was something special. They allow 6 yards a play. Yeah, they're 1-6 too. So now, Kyler Murray, for the record, he doesn't have a ton of support either. Without Chandler Jones, he made one terrible interception. Both these guys did. It was a mirror image, right? But again, you're asking Kyler Murray to save the franchise. So I thought what you saw with the present and what you saw perhaps with the future of the league is you can ask Kyler and Russell to be special 7-8 times, and they're worth $35-40 million a year if they are. But if you become the Rockets and you're asking Harden to play 38 minutes and score 47 points, it doesn't work. You're going to run these guys into the ground. And by the way, Tom Brady last week against Green Bay, they won in a rout. Brady threw for 166 yards. Make about 4 big throws. He did. You got to allow your quarterback to breathe a little off the bus. Coming up next, I don't advocate for firing people. At Michigan, Brady Hoke, I was like, okay, it's time. Let's move on. But we have a situation in Dallas where a very successful man needs to just tilt a franchise on its side and fire everybody now. That's coming up.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Geico.com. You know, it's really scary seeing how much you could save on your car insurance by switching to Geico. Geico.com. Halloween's right around the corner. So I was watching Arizona last night, and you know why Arizona is so much fun to watch? Because Arizona did something that's very, very hard for successful men. I'll speak for men here. Successful men have a hard time going, ha, I made a huge mistake. The reason Arizona is so much fun to watch is because Steve Keim, the general manager, went, you know, I hired Steve Wilks after a year. It ain't working. And I got Josh Rosen. Well, that's not working. And he just owned it. He just owned it. I talked to him. He just owned it. He's like, hey, Kyler Murray, I'm watching the tape. That's better than what I got. And I'm going to roll the dice with Cliff Kingsbury because the league is changing. And if he doesn't own up to the mistake, it's Josh Rosen, Steve Wilks. They're 1-15. They're not working. You got to own it. Dallas has to own it. Jerry Jones, Netflix and Amazon don't even resemble the companies they initially were. They don't even resemble it. Why? No, that doesn't work. That doesn't work. That doesn't work. That doesn't work. It's because Reed Hastings, Jeff Bezos, they may have egos, but they're not big enough to get in the way of acknowledging something's not working. Successful people all over America make mistakes. Own it. Mike McCarthy's a bad hire. It's a bad hire. You whiffed. Move on. I mean, Andy Dalton gets crushed yesterday. Not a single Cowboy player goes over and confronts the guy with the cheap shot, John Bostic. I'm not talking about fist fights here, but you got to protect your quarterback. I mean, in the NFL, it's unspoken. Like, if somebody does this to your quarterback, you got to go after Bostic and confront him. The Cowboys are not a team. They're just 55 guys wearing the same shirt. Nobody's there to confront Bostic, say anything. Only one Cowboy went over to help Andy Dalton. And spare me on this whole, you know, Dallas, it'll take time. It's a new system. Oh, baloney. Carolina's got Matt Rhule. He's got a new quarterback. He's a college coach. He'd never been an NFL coach. I watched Carolina yesterday. I've watched Carolina 4 times this year. They're competitive. Ron Rivera's battling cancer. Washington's competitive. I mean, I'm watching Stefanski in Cleveland. 5-2. They're more than competitive. This is the same roster. It's the same offensive system. They kept the coordinator, right? Kellen Moore. They kept him. It's the same roster. It's the same players. So you have got to acknowledge if you're Jerry Jones. And I know it's hard, but go look at how much fun Arizona is to watch. Because the general manager and the owner, and they talked about it last night during the game, just said, hey, we may have made a mistake here. We hired a coordinator, made him a coach. He wasn't ready. And we drafted a college quarterback. He's okay. We'd like to build on him. But, oh, my gosh, there's this kid on tape at Oklahoma who's way better. You just have to own it. It's okay. You know, go hire Ryan Day at Ohio State, Urban Meyer, Lincoln Riley. But, I mean, Microsoft years ago created a device called Zune. Remember Zune? Most of
yes.
you don't. It bombed. Okay, Zune was going to replace the iPod, right? You know what Zune is now for Microsoft? Because Bill Gates acknowledged it didn't work. It's a good laugh. It's a write-off. And it doesn't define Microsoft. Because they're like, yeah, we were competing against Apple. And Apple was doing other stuff. And we kind of whiffed on that. Boom, next thing. And that's why Microsoft is back better than ever. Greater earnings than ever. Stock price is up. Although nothing's up today. The point being is, it doesn't define them because they moved off it. And Arizona football today is fun and glorious and wild and crazy, and everybody loves it because they owned it. Dallas, own it. Jerry, own it. You whiffed. You hired a guy that was, I mean, first of all, he lied to you, said he watched all your games. Second of all, this analytic nonsense, that's not true. Like, just own it. Otherwise, you're going to be defined by this for like half a decade. You're going to be defined by what this is right now. Go back to being fun, progressive, smart. Go to the offensive side of the ball. Go to college like everybody else is doing. Joy of the news.
No.
Turn on the news.
This is the Herdline News.
Well, big news this morning. Odell left yesterday's game early in the first quarter with a left knee injury.
Mm-hmm.
The Browns feared that it was serious, and Josina Anderson reported this morning in an MRI confirmed that OBJ has torn his ACL. He will miss the remainder of the season. Obviously he's in a lot of pain here, but I don't want to say it looked like it was an ACL tear, but this is just... This sucks. Like, there's just no other way to put it. It's really disappointing how things are going to end up ending for Odell in Cleveland. Not that I ever thought this was a perfect fit for Odell, but it's just like, Odell is such a star and such a electric player to watch. It feels like we haven't been able to see the full potential of Odell in Cleveland that we saw with the Giants when things were going well with Eli.
I'm not sure what the market is anymore. I mean, to be honest with you, he's kind of being defined by injuries now. Like, I understand the market, like, shrinking up.
Once he's healthy again, someone will sign him. Obviously, I'm assuming that the Browns don't keep him at this point, but that's what's going to end up happening. He just has too much. He has too much potential. We've seen what he's able to do, even with the injuries. It just seems like there's always one more obstacle when it comes to Odell with his body.
And I never thought, if you go look, there's some data out there, we had it this morning, is it was never a great fit in Cleveland. Remember, Dak struggled with Dez. Young quarterback, big star receiver.
Baker with Odell.
If you look at Baker without Odell, where he kind of spreads the ball around like he did at Oklahoma, he's a much better quarterback. I always feel like Dak and Dez didn't work. Instead of demanding Dak throw to Dez, let Dak sprinkle it around and grow. I think Baker would have been better not feeling. And listen, it's not like Odell demanded you throw the ball to him. It's almost unspoken. Star receiver comes to Cleveland. You got to make sure he's happy.
And Odell was similar to Le'Veon in New York. Was great with everything that was put on him in Cleveland. I mean, we didn't think it was a good fit in Cleveland, despite Cleveland screaming and hollering about how wrong we were. But Odell never complains about it. He always bought into the situation there. He always supported Baker and supported the team. Like, there was never a point where I felt like he was the problem in Cleveland.
Oh, no, they have bigger issues. Yeah.
Yeah, so this is really disappointing news. Hopefully Odell gets back healthy and is able to perform again. So the Patriots hit a new low yesterday, 33-6 to the 49ers. Cam Newton had another poor performance, 9-15, 98 yards and 3 interceptions. The 27-point loss is the Patriots' largest home loss in the Bill Belichick era. Jimmy G played well enough to win,
but the
star on the offense was running back Jeff Wilson, who scored 3 touchdowns. Jimmy G was 20 of 25, 277 yards, 2 interceptions. Cam said this morning that he was not surprised that Belichick benched him. He said on WEEI, he said, "I'm a realist." But I think obviously everyone is going to pay attention to how bad the Patriots are and what happened with the Patriots yesterday. We buried the 49ers too soon.
Yeah. Because when Bosa got hurt.
Yes, and that loss to the Dolphins was bad.
Yeah.
And Jimmy G didn't look great the week after.
And you'll watch the Rams tonight. Rams are a bad call from being 5-1. They punched him in the forehead for 4 hours. This is a really good team with exceptional talent. They miss Bosa, and I don't think they're a Super Bowl team because I think Bosa's the icing. He takes you to another level. But they drafted a good defensive lineman. We buried him way too. And if you look at their schedule, Joy, I did today, this morning, they face six, like, Seattle-Dallas defenses down the stretch. They're going to win a lot of games. Now,
great coaching and great culture is also.
Yeah, and their schedule actually, it looked before the season, you're like, ooh, Seattle and Dallas and the Saints. And they're like, oh, those are bad defense. Buffalo. So they've got a bunch of defenses coming up. They're going to be able to move the football, control the clock, and do that.
Yeah, they're still a good team. I'm with you. I don't think that they're a Super Bowl team this year.
But they're good.
But they're still a good team, yes. So the Dodgers are one win away from their first World Series title since 1988. Job's not done.
But by the way, that ninth inning was...
LeBron tweeted that.
That ninth inning was tense last night.
That whole game was great. Clayton Kershaw had a strong outing in Game 5, allowing only 2 runs in 5 2/3 innings, although yeah. It did look a little...
He wasn't
get a little sketchy there.
He wasn't quite as dominating, but I mean, it was just one of those games where this is a classic. You were one pitch away from being down heading into Game 6 of the series. This game was so much about inches. Tampa had guys on late, and we're all doing the same. Even the pitcher for the Dodgers, we're all doing the same thing. We're like, you know, listen, we live in Los Angeles. It's a Dodger town. This could have easily one bad pitch gone the other way.
No, I'm rooting for the Dodgers.
Yeah.
He also struck out 6 batters to reach 207 total in the postseason, which makes him the all-time leader in postseason strikeouts.
He's redefining a little bit. He needed this.
Yes. I mean,
he's obviously our Sandy Koufax. It's not a Hall of Fame argument. He needed to have a stronger postseason, and he has.
He did. We're showing the MLB postseason strikeout leaders. Clayton Kershaw is 207. He passed Justin Verlander with 205. John Smoltz, 199. Andy Pettit, 183. And Roger Clemens, 173. This was a nice treat of a game after the way the Game 4 ended.
Right.
I there's sometimes where I catch myself, like something will happen. Like it happened yesterday with DK Metcalf.
Yeah.
And, like, there's just certain things where I'll literally be like sitting at home and watching it, and I'm like, I have the reaction.
The final play of the Dodger loss.
That was so, I couldn't, like, my brain couldn't process what happened.
Yeah. This has actually ended up being a great World Series.
It's been really fun.
The Dodgers bullpen is lousy enough to make this fascinating because they're really a great closer away from being really, really tough to beat. But even now I'm like, have they announced yet when their ace is going? Are they going to hold him for Game 7? The Dodgers? Are they going to do a MacGyver in Game 6 and throw a bunch of relievers out there? Okay, so that Game 6 probably goes to Tampa because they're going to try to do what I did for dinner the other night when the wife's out of town,
right,
and have a bowl of cereal,
tortilla,
ice cream, licorice, and, you know, cough syrup. You know, so they're going to try to MacGyver Game 6 and Tampa's going to win.
I mean, I wouldn't mind a Game 7.
Oh, yeah. Eat it with this company.
Yeah.
A joy with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Lie News.
So I'm watching the Bucks-Raiders game. Mark Schlereth has gotten some good games. So Mark Schlereth, 3 Super Bowl rings. You know that. 2-time Pro Bowler. Joining us, brought to you by Mercedes-Benz, the best or nothing. You know, there has been I kind of laugh at Tom Brady, Mark, because first of all, he looks so young. If there's some skin oil he's using or something's happening because he looks so young. But when you watched him yesterday, do you go back 7-8 years? Does he look the same? Is the fastball a little off?
No, he looks exactly the same. He doesn't look like he's lost any velocity on the fastball. Obviously, you know, he understands where he wants to go with the football. He communicates where he wants his receivers to be with ball placement. Incredibly accurate on the deep ball. I mean, he just was throwing dimes right and left yesterday. It was an amazing performance, 369 yards, 4 TDs throwing, and he had a rushing TD as well. I mean, this guy is really, you know, it's so funny because I asked him early in the season, I had him early in the season, where are you? He goes, hey, I'm dating this offense. I was married for 20 years. I'm dating this offense. And I said to him, hey, did you get to third base yet with this offense? He goes, no, I'm sliding into second right now. That's where I am with this offense, sliding into second. So, you know, they just keep building on this offense. His receivers keep building. And he said something to me that was one of the most interesting things that I've heard, Colin. I think you're going to really appreciate this. He says, you know, in New England this time of year, I would always go to the side with my receivers and we'd work while the defense was playing. We'd be working on our routes, our route combinations, where I want guys to be. He goes, it's so damn hot in Tampa that during those breaks when the defense is doing plays, we're trying to recover. So I'm not getting the extra work that I got for 20 years in New England because my guys are too tired from running in the heat. So I have not been able to kind of do the extra stuff that I like to do with my guys. So really interesting kind of perspective of the difference between playing in a cold weather city and playing in a hot city like Tampa.
Yeah, it is fascinating. And you got to give Tampa credit. Not only did Gronk come over, which matters now because the Bucs have lost the tight end for the year, but they've got Tyler Johnson, a rookies now, Scott Miller. So it's and they're going to bring in Antonio Brown. So they're just giving Tom more and more weapons. They understand guys get hurt. When you look at Tampa's defense, it's really fast. People worry about the back end, but for people that didn't watch all of this game, are you confident that this is a Super Bowl defense?
Absolutely. And, you know, people worry about the back end just because the guys are young and they don't know any of them. I'm telling you what, they are as talented at the back end as anybody in football. They got three guys that can legit cover. Carlton Davis is a legit cover corner, as is Sean Murphy Bunting. Jamel Dean's their fastest DB, and he's a great player. You saw him have the pick six against the Green Bay Packers 2 weeks ago. And then their two safeties. I mean, Jordan Whitehead will come up and thump you in the chest, and so will Antoine Winfield Jr. But Antoine Winfield Jr. is a three-level safety. I mean, he can blitz, he can play in the box as a linebacker, and he's a good middle-of-the-field defender as well. So people just don't know them. They're young, and people look at that as a detriment, but it's not. They're really good. They're super aggressive. Todd Bowles has them playing well. And I'll put their two inside linebackers against any two inside linebackers in football. They are fast. They are filthy. They are nasty. And they do things, in my mind, they do things like Junior Seau back in the day. They do things that are unsound. They're so fast. And they're so good at reading and diagnosing things. They'll do a few things that are unsound at times and that they're making a 4-yard tackle in the backfield. I mean, it's amazing how good they are. All three levels of this defense. Then you put the pass rushers in with JPP and Shaq Barrett. I'm telling you what, they're an outstanding defensive football team. The kind of defense that can lead you to a championship.
So you were supposed to do the Arizona-Seattle game, but it got moved. So you end up getting Tom Brady. That's not a bad, you know, second prize. So you've covered Seattle and Arizona before. Obviously, Arizona's won, I think, 7 of 10. There's a lot of stuff going in the right direction here. But I said about Seattle, everybody's going to talk about the three interceptions, but they're becoming the Houston Rockets with James Harden. It's mesmerizing, but he's exhausted by the end of the season. Russell Wilson, they're allowing 6.5 yards a play. The reason he's throwing interceptions, one of the reasons is he's everything. It's not letting Russ cook. He runs the restaurant. And I just wonder, With Russell Wilson, could you just wear him out? I mean, they are so reliant on everything. What do you make of these two teams and specifically Seattle?
Yeah, I mean, with Russell Wilson, you know, I said this in the first broadcast of the season. Everybody says, let Russ cook. I said, how about just let him simmer? You know, you can get a great meal in a crock pot. You know, you just put it on the counter all day. You're not going to burn your kitchen down, right? And that's historically been what they have been. You know, they're going to run the ball. They're going to set up some play action. Russ is going to take some shots down the football field. They're outstanding that way. But I am with you. They have got to find a pass rush. They've got to tie the front end of their defense to the back end of their defense. Because right now, the one thing you see on a consistent basis is they can't generate pressure. They can't get to the opponent's quarterback. So even if you're in great coverage, I don't care who you are in the National Football League, you can't cover the receivers that exist in this league for 3.5 seconds. It's impossible. It's not going to happen. So until they can kind of tie that front end with the back end, which, you know, I don't know where you're going to go to find a pass rusher. They don't, you know, they just don't grow on trees. And there's not a lot of guys that are readily available unless you could find a trade somewhere with a team that's just reeling and they don't want to pay a guy.
Yeah.
I mean, that to me is going to be the only option that you're going to have. And I just don't know how many teams are willing to let go of a legitimate, like, big time war daddy pass rusher. They just don't let those guys out.
So I said this earlier, is that what's amazing about Arizona is that Steve Wilks was a coach a year and a half ago, and then they just admitted, we made a mistake. He's a coordinator, not a coach. Josh Rosen. They're like, no, we're going to upgrade. And now they're not defined by that. Nobody talks about that. It's okay. Everybody makes mistakes. I look at Dallas, Mark, and I think, okay, if you don't make a move on this staff really quick, you're going to be defined for the next half decade in this division by that. Like, I think Dallas, and I never am fire the coach guy. I think it is, it's just, you whiffed. It happens. Jerry, you're a billionaire. You're a smart guy. You whiffed. I think I'd clean house, and I'd do it by Thanksgiving. Your thoughts?
Well, my thoughts are, what's that going to change? Like, if there's a difference between empowering a coach and appointing a coach. So you're going to appoint another coach? Listen, if you won't empower Bill Parcells, what makes you think you're going to empower anybody? It's just not going to happen. They'll never win unless Jerry steps down from his role as the grand poobah of all things football and empowers somebody to make decisions. Like, as an owner, you know what your job really is to do? Write checks. That's your job. Yet Jerry is out there, the forefront of the organization, having post-game press conferences, being on a radio show, telling everybody about the team twice a week or whatever it is. I mean, you know, circumventing your coach's authority at every turn. That's been the organization. That's the structure of the organization. And I just don't believe you win with that structure in place. Think about this, Colin. Just last week when they lost. Right. Just last week when they lost to Arizona on a Monday night game, they lost to Arizona. The next day, players come out anonymously and rip on the coaches. They don't know what they're doing. They don't have us prepared. Why do you do that? If your coach has authority, you don't do that. Right? They don't have authority. So that is a direct pipeline to our owner. Oh, things aren't going well. It's not us, the players. It's the coaches. Like, at some point, really, hold your organization accountable. Empower the people that you hire. Give them the power to make a decision. And ultimately, whoever it is that's whining and complaining and being out there throwing anonymous quotes, you should fire that guy. That guy should get fired. By the way, your quarterback gets laid out and not one guy. Like, you want to talk about cultural just lack of culture, lack of anything football wise. Your quarterback gets laid out and you just stand around and watch it. Like at some point, somebody got to throw fists in that situation.
Yeah.
And I'm not a condoner of violence, but that is baloney.
Yeah.
And that's that organization right now. And it starts at the top with Jerry.
Yeah. By the way, only about a minute left, Mark Schlereth. I watched Pittsburgh and Tennessee, and I thought, oh, they're going to play again. They're going to play again. Like, that's not that is not the last time they're going to play. It's funny. The first half, I thought Pittsburgh, and I picked Pittsburgh to win. They rolled them. Second half, I'm like, oh, no, Tennessee figured it out. Vrabel's a very good coach. If they were to play again, would you still like Pittsburgh?
I would. I think Pittsburgh, just from an offensive standpoint, the weaponry standpoint, and also defensively, their ability to create pass rush opportunities, their ability to pressure the opponent's quarterback, I just think they're really good on both sides of the ball that way. I would give Pittsburgh a slight edge, but I'm 100% with you on Vrabel. Vrabel has taken so much from that Belichick tree, if you will, or that Belichick knowledge about the rules and how to circumvent and put guys in great positions and how to adjust, halftime adjustments and all those things that Tennessee seems to be able to do. I just really think he's a hell of a football coach.
Mark Schlereth, 3 Super Bowl rings. Good seeing you, buddy. Thanks for coming on.
Likewise, man. I'll talk to you soon, buddy.
Yep, he was going to have the Seahawks-Arizona game. He got the Bucs instead. Wasn't quite the game, but you got Brady, that defense. I think right now Tampa's the best team in the NFL. Coming up next, I thought the media and fans really missed the story of Cleveland's win over Cincinnati. It's not Baker Mayfield. I'll talk about that. Plus, Colin right, Colin wrong. Top of next hour on a Monday coming up.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
Unlimited talk, unlimited text. Keep your phone. Just 2 gigs of data. $20 a month. That's it. If you change your wireless provider, go to Pure Talk USA. Grab your mobile phone. Dial pound 250 and say Colin Coward. You'll save $400 a year. So the media missed on this one, not a surprise. It's remarkable to me. If you just watch sports, if you watch the games, we know what people are. Stop trying to convince me of something that's not true. We know what Baker Mayfield is in the NFL now. He's on his fourth coach. He's below average. He's one of the least talented quarterbacks in the league, except when he plays Cincinnati. If you look at his numbers against his entire career, 30 games against everybody not named the Bengals, he completes 61% of his throws and his passer rating's 83. Since he's been in the league, the Bengals' defense has sucked. It's terrible, and it's bad this year. Better than last year, but bad. We know what the Bengals are. They're bad. That's why they had the number one draft pick. When Baker plays the Bengals, he's amazing. 111 passer rating, 5-1. And every time he beats Cincinnati, we're like, oh, Baker. Did you watch last week against Pittsburgh? He was overwhelmed. Did you watch week one against Baltimore? He was overwhelmed. Stop trying to convince me what Baker is. He's not a bust, but he's darn close. He's not good, except against the Bengals. The story yesterday is Joe Burrow, who threw for 406 yards against Myles Garrett and that defensive front. Myles Garrett's the only guy in the league you can compare to Aaron Donald. He's it. You can't block Myles Garrett. He's the only thing in this league that looks like Aaron Donald. You can't block him. In two games this year, Burrow has been sacked 7 times by the Browns. Baker Mayfield in two games against Cincinnati's pass rush hasn't been sacked at all. Yes, the story is Joe Burrow, 7 games in the NFL, a bottom 4 offensive line, no Joe Mixon, no running game. One of his best receivers, also a rookie, no OTAs, no training camp, no preseason. The Bengals head coach, who knows if he can coach? Joe Burrow got into a gunfight and was sufficiently unarmed and almost pulled it off. You got to stop trying to convince me Baker's anything more than below average. That's what he is, except against Cincinnati. And in the time Baker's been in the league, Cincinnati's defense has been historically atrocious. So I'm not going to count the Bengal win and go, whoa. I'm going to go back 7 days to the Pittsburgh game and go, woo. Or go back a month and a half to the Baltimore game with Baker and go, ugh. You are defined in this league not by wins. Who do you beat? Ben Roethlisberger's got a bunch of wins. He doesn't have enough over Brady. He doesn't have enough in February. That's where Brady's got wins. That's why Brady's the GOAT, because he wins in January and February. A lot of guys win in November and October. A lot of guys. Andy Reid won for years in September, October. He got Patrick Mahomes. Now he wins in February. And that defines you in this league. It's not about beating Cincinnati. So, and Burrow, you know, he went to the Tom Brady school of quarterbacking. After the loss, here's what he had to say.
You know, that's what I expect of myself. It's, you know, it's exciting, but, you know, I expect myself to do that every week. Ball in my hand at the end of the game, I'm comfortable and confident that I'm going to go down and make the play to win. Unfortunately, Baker was playing out of his mind and led that 2-minute drive after us.
Yeah. Yes, Baker is great against Cincinnati. He has been. For the record, virtually every quarterback looks great against Cincinnati. That is not news. It's not breaking. The idea, I mean, just say this out loud. If you live in Ohio, just say this out loud. Humiliated by the Steelers a week ago, Baker Mayfield went on to win narrowly against the Bengals. Does that sound like I'm supposed to be blown away? Or say this out loud. Working with a bottom 3 offensive line, a coach we don't know that's any good, with no running game, facing the 2nd best defensive lineman in the NFL, Joe Burrow threw for 400 yards. Oh, by the way, no training camp, no preseason, no OTAs. Everybody got the story wrong. The story is, good Lord, between Justin Herbert of the Chargers, Kyler Murray of Arizona, and Joe Burrow yesterday, I don't care if they won. All I know is I watched those games. That is the future of the league. That, like, if you're the Chargers, you're the Bengals, Arizona, don't live in the moment. Don't live in the moment. Arizona's not winning the Super Bowl. Okay, Chargers aren't winning the Super Bowl. Bengals aren't making the playoffs. But you talk about talent. And I thought he'd be Tony Romo. He may end up being a lot better than Tony Romo. And Tony Romo will get Hall of Fame votes. Like Burrow is, he is a sensational talent, and he's really having an incredible, when you contextualize it and consider what he's dealing with, he is having an absolutely incredible rookie season. Blown away by Burrow. RecTech, more than a grill, it's a lifestyle built by grillers for grillers. RecTech with a Q.com, RECTEQ.com. Some thoughts on the Steelers. As always, on a Monday, Trent Dilfer comes up. Colin right, Colin wrong. DeMarcus Ware, the former Cowboy, a Super Bowl champ, he's stopping by too. Live in L.A., it's The Herd.